Air. Section 1. What causes air pollution? In Mexico City, children rarely use the color blue when they make paintings of the sky. This metropolitan area of 20 million people is known as the most dangerous city in the world for children because of its very polluted air. Clean air consists mostly of nitrogen and oxygen gas, as well as very small amounts of argon, carbon dioxide, and water vapor. When harmful substances build up in the air to unhealthy levels, the result is air pollution. Most air pollution is the result of human activities, but pollutants can also come from natural sources. A volcano, for example, can spew clouds of particles and sulfur dioxide, SO2, into the atmosphere. Natural pollutants also include dust, pollen, and spores. Primary and secondary pollutants. A pollutant that is put directly into the air by human activity is called a primary pollutant. An example of a primary pollutant is soot from smoke. Figure 1 shows some sources of primary air pollutants. Secondary pollutants form when primary pollutants react with other primary pollutants or with naturally occurring substances, such as water vapor. An example of a secondary pollutant is ground-level ozone. Ground-level ozone forms when the ultraviolet rays of the sun cause emissions from cars, trucks, and natural sources to react with oxygen in the atmosphere. Sources of primary air pollutants. As shown in Table 1 above, household products, power plants, and motor vehicles are sources of primary air pollutants such as carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and chemicals called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. Carbon monoxide gas is an important component of the exhaust from vehicles. Vehicles are also a major source of emissions of nitrogen oxides. Coal-burning power plants are another source of nitrogen oxides. Sulfur dioxide gases are formed when coal and oil, which contains sulfur, are burned. Power plants, refineries, and metal smelters contribute much of the sulfur dioxide emissions to the air. Vehicles and gas station spillage make up most of the human-made emissions of volatile organic compounds. VOCs are also found in many household products. Particulate matter can also pollute the air and is usually divided into fine and coarse particles. Fine particles enter the air from fuel burned by vehicles and coal-burning power plants. Sources of coarse particles are cement plants, mining operations, incinerators, wood-burning fireplaces, fields, and roads. The history of air pollution. Air pollution is not a new phenomenon. Whenever something burns, pollutants enter the air. 2,000 years ago, Seneca, a Roman philosopher and writer, complained about the foul air in Rome. In 1273, England's King Edward I ordered that burning a particularly dirty kind of coal, called sea coal, was illegal. One man was even hanged for disobeying this medieval Clean Air Act. The world air quality problem is much worse today because modern industrial societies burn large amounts of fossil fuels. As shown in Figure 2, most air pollution comes from motor vehicles and industry. Motor vehicle emissions. Almost one-third of our air pollution comes from gasoline burned by vehicles. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, Americans drove their vehicles over 2.6 trillion miles in 1998. Over 90% of that mileage was driven by passenger vehicles. The rest was driven by trucks and buses. Controlling vehicle emissions. The Clean Air Act, passed in 1970 and strengthened in 1990, gives the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, the authority to regulate vehicle emissions in the United States. The EPA required the gradual elimination of lead in gasoline, and as a result, lead pollution has been reduced by more than 90% in the United States. In addition, catalytic converters, which are required in automobiles, clean exhaust gases of pollutants before the pollutants are able to exit the tailpipe. The EPA estimates that cars and trucks today burn fuel 35% more efficiently and with 95% fewer emissions of pollutants, excluding carbon dioxide, than they did 30 years ago. California Zero Emission Vehicle Program. A catalytic converter, as shown in Figure 3, is a device that is used to control emissions from most American vehicles. In California, motor vehicles account for more than half of the ozone and particulate matter that pollutes the air. To improve air quality, the state's Air Resources Board established the Zero Emission Vehicle, or ZEV, program in 1990 to encourage the development of less polluting vehicles. ZEV programs have also been adopted in Maine, Massachusetts, New York, and Vermont. Zero-emission vehicles have no tailpipe emissions, no emissions from gasoline, and no emission control systems, which deteriorate over time. Battery-powered electric vehicles are the only true ZEVs at the moment, but there are two types of partial ZEVs. One type is clean, fuel-efficient hybrid cars, which are powered by both batteries and gasoline engines. Hybrid cars are already in use today and are very popular. The other type is vehicles powered by methanol fuel cells. Many automobile manufacturers have built these vehicles, but they are still in the prototype stage of development. Industrial air pollution. Many industries, as well as power plants that generate electricity, burn fuel to produce energy. They usually burn fossil fuels. Burning fossil fuels releases sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides into the air. Power plants that produce electricity emit at least two-thirds of all sulfur dioxide and more than one-third of all nitrogen oxides that pollute the air. Some industries, such as the dry cleaning industry shown in Figure 4, also produce VOCs. VOCs are chemical compounds that form toxic fumes. Oil refineries, chemical manufacturing plants, furniture refinishers, and automobile repair shops also contribute to the VOCs in the air. Regulating air pollution from industry. The Clean Air Act requires many industries to use scrubbers or other pollution control devices. Scrubbers remove some of the more harmful substances that would otherwise pollute the air. A scrubber, as shown in Figure 5, is a machine that moves gases through a spray of water that dissolves many pollutants. Electrostatic precipitators are machines used in cement factories and coal-burning power plants to remove dust particles from smokestacks. In an electrostatic precipitator, gas containing dust particles is blown through a charged chamber. An electrical charge is transferred to the dust particles, which causes them to stick to one another and the sides of the chamber. The clean gas is released from the chamber, and the concentrated dust particles can then be collected and removed. Electrostatic precipitators remove 22 million metric tons, or 20 million tons, of ash generated by coal-burning power plants from the air each year in the United States. Smog. When air pollution hangs over urban areas and reduces visibility, it is called smog. As you can see in Figure 6, smog results from chemical reactions that involve sunlight, air, automobile exhaust, and ozone. Pollutants released by vehicles and industries are the main causes of smog. Temperature inversions. The circulation of air in the atmosphere usually keeps air pollution from reaching dangerous levels. During the day, the sun heats the surface of the Earth and the air near the Earth. The warm air rises through the cooler air above and carries pollutants away from the ground and into the atmosphere. Sometimes, however, pollution is trapped near the Earth's surface. Usually, air temperatures decrease with altitude, but sometimes a temperature inversion occurs when the air above is warmer than the air below. Figure 7 shows how a temperature inversion traps pollutants near the Earth's surface. The warmer air above keeps the cooler air at the surface from moving upward. So, pollutants are trapped below with the cooler air. If a city is located in a valley, the city has a greater chance of experiencing temperature inversions. Los Angeles, which is surrounded on three sides by mountains, often has temperature inversions that trap smog in the city. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.